Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Guys, it's going to be a pretty powerful, neutral-toned, eye-brightening episode of Fat Mascara.
Oh my God, I know who's here.
Before we get into our guest, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, we're going to have a quick beauty recap of the Emmys, and we're going to talk about New York Fashion Week. It went out with a bang.
It did.
And moisturizers. Does yours have an expiration date?
What's the deal with expiration dates?
What's the deal? And the not safe for work Manny. Now, Jen.
Yeah?
Who is in the house today?
I literally can't even. I hate when people say that, but I can't even. It's Bobby Brown. Not the musician, the makeup artist.
My prerogative. It's the way that I want to live.
Yes, hello.
Yes. Hi.
We recorded last week's episode. I think it was the day before the last day of Fashion Week, wasn't it? And of course, Marc Jacobs always ends Fashion Week. And he went out with a serious beauty bang. I don't know if it was a good bang or a bad bang.
I think it depends on who you ask.
Yeah. So why don't you tell people what the look was in case you haven't seen it?
Sure. The look was 90s inspired, cyberpunk, gothic, Lolita, like...
You were backstage,
Burning
right?
This is Man. From the words of the... I was there. I saw the girls. I saw two girls actually smoking outside as I was approaching the venue. And I was like...
So those were the influences. What was the hair?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so I saw them and I saw the their wild, like pastel and primary colored dreadlocks. And that got a lot of people up in arms.
Well, when you first saw them, like you read that as dreadlocks, right?
I saw the whole, they weren't actually dressed in the Marc Jacobs clothes yet.
Right.
To me, I saw it and I was like, this is very, like, hackers, late 90s, because of the color. It was so overwhelming.
Oh, because they were rainbow and yarny and not necessarily
But
hair.
I was also like, I can see the internet
Yeah,
outrage.
When you put it all in context, of course he got called out for cultural appropriation. He had his show was, I want to say, 80% white girls, I would guess, which it hasn't been the norm this Fashion Week, to be honest. And they were wearing these rainbow-colored dreadlocks. I'm sorry, you can call them rave or whatever. Those were dreadlocks, let's be honest. And I feel like I I was like, I probably wouldn't have gone there. But this is why I'm not an artist, because I'm not one of those people that pushes boundaries and does things for the sake of art. I'm like such a Libra, and I'm always like, I can see both sides of it. Mm. So to me, when I first looked at it, I was like, oh, there's going to be a problem.
I can see why many people were very hurt and offended.
Yeah.
But I think it's a slippery slope when you lay claim over an aesthetic, and yeah, whether or not you, how far you take it and where the line is, I don't believe that there is that there are firm borders of where a line is. And I think it's important for artists, and who is an artist and who is not what I'm debating right now. Like whether Guido's an artist or Marc Jacobs an artist. I mean,
Guido did
they are, yeah, mm-hmm, they are artists. And I don't think that's up for, that can be debated. And P.S. if you're hearing like
banging on the pipes.
That's not somebody coming in to take the mic away from me.
They're building our new studio.
But I think that it's really dangerous when you start telling people this is up for grabs and this isn't. This is what you can reflect and this is what you can't.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And I think there was a Washington Post article that I thought explained that kind of well, which was the minute you start policing art in that way, it sort of puts constraints on art. That said, I'm not from a culture that has dreadlocks traditionally, so I really am interested to hear what other people have to say about it, especially Black women, to be honest.
Yeah. I think, just to interject, I think I wasn't as bothered by what happened until Marc Jacobs sent out his first tweet.
Oh, Lord, he messed
up. Which was,
up.
He, like, really dug his own grave. But then
he tweeted that, funny how people don't call out, what was it, Black women for straightening their hair.
Right, and that was like, oh, no, honey. But then the next day, he apologized. He said something about how his brevity was, like, you know, insensitive and blah, blah, blah. I think it's tricky. One of my bigger issues is, like, when you make a mistake or you do one thing or you tweet the wrong thing and then people brand you, you're a racist, you're an idiot, you're a moron, then, like, all dialogue shuts down. So I'm not really
a social media. And what this really needs is a deeper conversation.
Oh, exactly,
and
Jen.
On that
nice
note,
segue.
We've hinted at this before, but we've finally been able to put together, we're doing our first live recorded podcast, and we're going to have a panel of women talking about cultural appropriation and beauty. And when are you borrowing from other cultures, and when are you being influenced, and when should we be careful? And we'll get more opinions than just these two white girls. So that'll be helpful, I think. Also, we just have to recap because the Emmys happened this week, too.
That was a much safer space for beauty. I think we all took a big sigh of relief.
Also, it's not art. They're not pushing. They're looking gorgeous and walking down the red carpet. Did you have any favorite looks?
I thought Kerry Washington was just, like, stunning.
Also, she's like six. How many months pregnant is she? And she looked that damn good there. She had really, her hair was curly, but like the perfect little coils of curls that I just, like, you dream of being able to do that. Makeup on point. I also thought Sarah Paulson looked so freaking cool.
Her brows and, like, her the way her brows do, the dark brows and the,
we have a hair. There's our drums in the background. Yeah, she had like a 40s thing going on.
Yeah, she just looked absolutely stunning.
Super chic. Also, Marcia Clark with her looked pretty good, I thought.
Oh, was it weird that I started to cry?
No, you could see that woman has been through a lot, and I think that was impressive. Was there anything you were just not so sure about as far as the makeup or hair?
Not so sure.
I have one.
Mm, who?
I didn't see the red carpet, so I tuned into the show, and when Claire Danes walked
out... Oh, God, how am I forgetting?
I was like, self-tanner fail. I feel like she put on self-tanner right before the show, and then it started processing as she was sitting in her seat.
Oh,
and
I felt bad.
You know how sometimes it processes patchy? She's, like, always looked chic to me, and, like, she had, like, this muzzle of orange going on.
I felt badly for her.
I don't think it was a makeup issue. I think it was, like, a tanning issue.
Whoever did her self-tan, like, are they even working right now?
I don't know. But I will say this. I think there's a lesson in there. Sometimes fair women are afraid of wearing, like, silver or white, and they don't want to look washed out. You know what? Own that look. Like, just own it. Don't try and cancel it out with orange self-tanner. It mm-hmm. does not work.
Mm-mm-mm. This is why I'm afraid of self-tanner.
Okay. Will you try those?
I did. I tried it. I've tried it 2 days ago. What do you think?
Yeah,
skin by Dimitri Jeans. I'm a little glowing. A little, not on the face. I tried on my arms.
But all in all, it was a pretty safe Emmys, I think. The women look beautiful. I never expect anything like earth-shattering to come out of it.
No.
But yeah, I think that's our recap of the beauty of the week.
Jen, this girl came up to me the other day and she was like, I did this big clear out of my, medicine cabinet, and I threw away like all my creams because, you know, they were old. And I'm thinking like, how old? She's like, you know, they have the expiration date on them.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking like, you're a fool. You probably just threw out a bunch of like perfectly good creams.
I'm thinking she should come to my house. I have creams from like 8 years ago in there still probably.
Do you still use any of them?
Depends. I have my own little set of rules. Is there a set of rules?
Yes and no. So this girl who was like tossing everything that said like, you know, expired 6/13, you know, I get it. I think she's trying to be a good girl. Like she's treating it like yogurt. But really, there are.
Which, by the way, I've heard those dates you don't even have to follow.
Oh, I know. It's like such
shelving.
A scam.
Mm-hmm. And okay. So, but you are actually dating a cosmetic chemist. Mm-hmm. I feel like you have a little bit of knowledge in this area.
I gave him the shakedown last night. I was like, what's the truth?
What's the truth?
Okay. So in the U.S., it's really not mandatory. Well, it's not mandatory to put any kind of expiration date on anything except for an OTC product. And OTC means over the counter. Mm-hmm. And that's really just, you know, for our purposes, acne, sunscreen, or antiperspirant. Stuff with like a hardcore active
ingredient.
With
the little drug facts panel on the back.
Exactly. Oh my God. That's a great way to like.
Okay. So those, you know, need an expiration date.
Right. Because like if your sunscreen is 5 years old, and you go outside and you use it, and you don't listen to the, you know, you're not paying attention to the thing, you're going to get like a nasty burn or
right.
something like
it
that.
It won't do its drug, yeah.
Right. But if a brand is putting something on, like, you know, a little.
They always have that little compact. It looks like it's open.
I'll tell you about that in a second. I'll tell you about that in a second. But if they put like 6/13 on it, that's just like they've decided that for whatever reason. Huh. But there's no like board
legal
that's.
Yeah.
Establishing those things.
Okay, good to know.
So they're not even required to do so. So there's like no way to know how they set that. If the reason why a brand might want to do that is that they want to make sure that they don't have any quality issues. So like if you have something for 10 years, they're like, you know, whatever,
the foundation
like,
might separate.
It might separate, or like, I'm just talking about creams here, but yeah, that kind of
or
thing.
Or a serum might separate.
Exactly. Or like the Walla Walla extract, like, might not, you know, moisturize.
Be as potent or something.
Mm-hmm. The emoji of the makeup compact that like says like 6 months, yeah. 12 months, that's a different story.
What's that?
That's like when you open it, it means like use within 6 months, oh. Like milk or eggs or, well, not eggs. I guess like liquidy eggs. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because that's not like a date. That's just for your edification.
Your eyes are like something, your eyes are a different area. So like I would be extra careful with an eye cream because it's near your eye and is like so prone to infection and like, you know, bacteria that I would pay attention when it says like 6 months.
But if it's my regular moisturizer and it says 6 months and I'm almost done it, but it's like 7 months, I'm probably fine.
Right. If you're really, like, since there's no across-the-board definition, if you're really curious and if you're, like, really nervous, tweet at the brand and be like, hey, you know, I've had it for this amount of months or this amount of years. Ask them, like, how do they establish their, you know, expiry dates?
Oh.
Show them that you're paying attention. And, like, if they're a responsible brand, they should write you back.
Yeah. Question, do you think any of these brands are like, let's put a really soon expiration date so that people throw it out and buy another one?
I don't think it's that, like, I think that's kind of a cynical way to look at
it. I'm very cynical sometimes.
No, I think it's just, I think that they're just kind of thinking about, they've run tests that this is when
they don't
like,
want
the
you
ideal
to write,
use is. Yeah.
Right, and write in and be like, mine was kind of pilly. And
right.
And if they say, we'll get rid of it in 6 months, they know that's definitely not going to happen.
Correct.
Remember when Bernadette came on one of my favorite interviews and she told us her mom had long nails? What did she give as the reason?
Because she cut her nails.
Oh, right.
Because she couldn't hold her roach clips.
Well, now I just saw the Weed Cure. I know that they've done this in California, but now there's a salon, Sensei Nail Salon, in Western Washington where cannabis is legal. They are doing a Weed Cure or perhaps a Canamani.
Canamani, that sounds so
basically,
cute.
Basically, you polish your nails, you do a gel nail, and then you sprinkle your cannabis sativa or your indica or whatever your choice grain is on your nails, and then do the gel overlay over top, and it looks like weed crumbles. I don't think that they can give you the weed. Mm. Also, like, who wants to waste weed that way? I don't know. I'm not a smoker, but I'm just saying, like, I can think of better things to do with weed. What did you think of what you saw the picture I sent you? What did you think?
I thought it looked a little, like, dirty. Like, just kind of looked like you couldn't
like grass and organic.
It looked like my cat, like, has, like, food left over. Like, cat scraps. Looked like cat scrap nanny. I didn't think it was chic.
It was very organic looking.
Yeah.
And I think it was the juxtaposition of, like, here's a super slick gel nail with a long shape. Like, gel nails are usually very graphic and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then you got, like, ground up cannabis on it. I don't know. I'm just gonna put it with my shock value beauty from last week. Just doing it to do it.
I feel like that's something like Jeremy Scott would have done.
He probably did do. We're gonna have to check in with Miss Pop and see what she says.
Miss Pop.
But I do want to talk about nails because we haven't in a while, and it's fall, and I always, if I do manicure, I like to change it up around fall, but I, like, want to have the color of fall, so I wanted to check in with you and see what is your color of fall. What have you been loving?
I've been getting a lot of manis. Don't let these bare nails fool you. I took off my nail polish last night because I was feeling, like, you know, frugal, and then, well, not that frugal because I still got my nails done this weekend. But I was like, I'm not going to, like, kick in the extra $5 for the OPI Infinite Shine because there was, like, you know, it's extra. It's like Chipotle when they're like, you know, guacamole is $2. So it was like, it's extra $5. They're like, you know, tell you, like, every, like, 2 seconds. I didn't want to deal with that. But every time I get the OPI Infinite Shine, it lasts for a week. It's incredible. I love it. And it's, like, just the best extra $5 you'll ever spend. And it's so glossy. It's better than the other brands.
Of the gel manicures.
Yeah.
It's not, like, really gel.
Well, I don't like gel manicures. Like, I'll never put my fingers under those little lamps. This is the kind where they just, it's like a two-stepper.
And it cures with natural light.
Yeah. It's gorgeous. I love it. And my favorite shade
of the OPI Infinite Shine is...
I like a rich berry. Can't be beat. So it's more like
you're going berry for fall.
I'm going berry for fall.
That's funny because I'm going into the lavendery purple family as well.
Mm.
Okay. Grandma Ruby, she was sick recently, so I'm thinking about her a lot. She's doing much better. Mm. She loves a mauve. She calls it mauve, which also I love too. But she used to do this, like, shimmery mauve that was so tacky, and she just rocked it all the way through the 90s, all the way through the aughts when it wasn't cool. And then all of a sudden, I was looking at it, and I was looking at the fall shades.
Oh, it's here.
I'm like, freaking Grandma Ruby is on trend. So I'm
like, she was like the OG mauve.
And you know what? Rihanna's been wearing this color too, and I forget where I saw this, but she was saying, like, it's the perfect neutral because it kind of goes with any clothing, but it's more fun than, like, you know, tan or something. So I brought three of my favorites. Smith & Colt. These actually stay on forever.
What's the name of it? I love their names.
This is 1972.
Okay.
Which is probably when Grandma Ruby first got her shimmery mauve nail polish. So that's a good one. And then do you know the brand Essence? Really inexpensive.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a German company. It's like the Chicor Wet n Wild in a way. So this is theirs, and it's called Free Hugs.
Oh, my God.
Free Hugs is the best nail polish name.
Free Hugs.
And the last one I like, because I, like you, like a gel nail polish but without the machine, is Sally Hansen's Miracle Gel, which is a two-stepper, same kind of idea. And this shade is called Street Flair.
Mmm, sassy.
Isn't Flair the stuff from that movie where they worked at TGI?
Office Space.
Yes.
Jennifer Aniston.
So this is also, this one's not shimmery, but it's like a pale mauve-y lavender.
That's pretty. That's very chic.
So you could go the Weed Cure route, the Canamani, or you could do like Jess and I and work your way into purple for fall.
Love it. We're on the same page. Love that. I don't even know where to start. She is the woman Who needs no introduction?
That's your introduction, Bobby Brown.
Oh, yeah, that is great. That is great.
Do you know what I want to start with, actually? Because I've always wondered this.
Yeah.
Like, you started in 1991 with your line.
Yes.
And Bobby Brown, other Bobby Brown, mm-hmm. was kind of big then.
Right.
Did that ever cause a problem?
No, but I met him because I was doing Whitney's makeup for a while. And so, yes. Yep.
And you were like, I'm Bobby with an I?
He just said, nice name. I said, yeah, you too.
Oh, I like it. But maybe I should probably back up for people who don't know who you are. I don't know if there's many.
I don't think there's a soul on earth.
Oh, there sure is. Oh, I've met plenty. It's so funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I feel like a lot of our listeners know who you are.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, you're just like, you're in heaven. Hog heaven.
Yeah. So let's talk about when you started. So 1991, 10 lipsticks.
Right. But I was already a makeup artist for many years. So the brand was 1991. My son I launched in 1990, so just so you understand the timeline.
All at once.
Son won. Yeah, everything at once, yeah.
And I remember reading somewhere that you said, well, it's the 10 lipsticks that I don't see on the market that are a formula that people don't have. It's all you'll ever need. So refresh our memories. What was going on in the market then? Like, why was it so different?
Well, when I was a makeup artist back then, it was the 80s, and the style was very artificial and really, like, bad lipsticks, a lot of like frosted and like bad smelling and greasy. And then another company came on the market, MAC, and they had very, very, very like dry, flat lipsticks. And I met a chemist one day and I said, you know, I used to always have to mix and blend my makeup to get a color that looked natural, that looked like lips. And I asked him if he'd make one for me. And in 1990, he made one for me. So I basically gave him a taupe eye pencil, a pinky, kind of browny blush, like cream rouge, and a lip balm. And he made it for me. And I said, oh my God, this is amazing. I said, I bet everyone would love this lipstick. And then I realized not everyone likes a nude lipstick.
Right.
So I thought about all the women I knew, and I made a color for each of them. So the perfect red, the perfect pink, the perfect beige, the perfect orange, 10 colors for all the different, really at the time it was all the different models I worked with. You know, women from all over the world.
I'm wearing one of them now.
Are you wearing... It's not one of the original 10, but it's beautiful.
It's probably... It's blackberry?
That's blackberry?
I know.
There's
I feel like
a
it's
a reddish thing.
It's probably not meant for my...
No, it's beautiful on you.
Like, I'm going to go dark and get a little crazy with Bobby. Yeah.
You know what's so funny? I didn't know you were wearing one of Bobby's lipsticks, and I thought you were wearing like something very like super new, like new for fall. Like,
but that's what's so cool about the colors that you did.
They
still
always
work.
I mean, you know, I'm someone that doesn't like trends. I like classic things. I like really simple classic things. And when I make something, I don't want it just for a moment.
So, but how many lipsticks do you have now?
I think we have 167, which my Alexis told me today, and I thought that was not very many. I thought it was more. Oh, shades. Yeah, well, how many formulas, though? We have, I'm sorry, 9 formulas, she points to me.
You're also famous for your foundation.
Yes. Do you know why?
Well,
it's so simple.
Tell us.
Well, okay, tell us.
Foundation should make you look like you're not wearing any.
And this was a novel concept at the time?
It was. Everything on the market was pink and looked really artificial. And I would try to do these beautiful models that, you know, were Indian or black. And I could never find a foundation that matched their skin. Even girls that were white, I couldn't find a foundation. So I ended up going to a theatrical makeup store, getting different color pigments, yellows and blacks and blues. And I ended up mixing things to get it to match. And I discovered that a yellow pigment is what actually made everyone look natural. So I would just mix it down and mix yellow in. So when I launched my first foundation, which was the stick, I made them all yellow toned. And because the only way to choose a foundation is if you put it on the side of your face, and if it disappears, it's the right color. It's the only way to choose.
Is it so simple?
It is. Everything I do is really simple, by the way.
Is it that like most people, and I'm saying most, have like a yellow undertone? Because to a lot of people who are not...
Look at all of us. Everyone, put your arms up.
Okay, we're all...
No, but look.
Producer Britt, we're all in
the
mix
peach.
Here.
Nobody looks peach.
Yeah.
I'm probably the orangest because I've been in the sun, but there's... Well, there's peach, but there's also yellow.
Yeah.
So nobody is that,
that
you know,
pinky.
So where did that pink come from?
I don't know. You know, I think that in the makeup world... for some reason, years and years and years ago, and I know it's a culture thing, to get rid of all the pigment out of your skin, because if you had a tan, that you, in theory, were working outside in a menial job, and if you were like a princess or a queen or elegant, you'd be inside.
Mm-hmm.
So they used to take all the color away from your face.
So, okay, so you became, you know, you were the queen of lipsticks, queen of foundation. Mm-hmm. Obviously, people were going to you. You were it. You got noticed, and eventually you sold the brand to Estee Lauder Companies.
Yeah, after 4 years, which after, is crazy.
That's really quick. Crazy. That's
I sold
really
it to Leonard Lauder because I fell in love with him.
I don't know him well, but I can see awesome. That. He seems to have a little, like, twinkle in his eye.
He does. He does.
Charm. Often when a smaller brand is acquired, the founder sticks around for a couple of years, but then they kind of hand over control. Right. Anyone who spent, like, 3 minutes with you can tell that you're not that type of person.
Well, it's only been 21 years. And some people call me a control freak. Other people think that I'm on the details, and it depends how you look at it.
Well, but you're still formulating products every day? Like, are you going to deal with the lab people?
I have people that deal with the lab people. I go to the lab once or twice a year, and I brought my Aunt Alice there last year, and she made this amazing lipstick called Pale Mauve, which is number one seller in a couple markets.
Aunt Alice. Well done.
Oh, yeah. You should meet Aunt Alice. She's 85 years old, never had any medication, short hair. Anytime I ever need to ask any question about life, I ask Aunt Alice.
Oh, my God. I see a potential for, like, a little section, a little
sidebar. Oh, no, you should call her because actually my idea, because I did do these, what were they? We did videos with Aunt Alice when I was at Yahoo Beauty, mm-hmm. and we sent Oprah's crew into her, like, kitchen.
Oh, I love it.
I wanted to do the garage because I kind of wanted to do, like, a Wayne's World meets Aunt Alice, but her garage was messy, so we did her kitchen. And it was just simple questions, because she always says, look. She starts every sentence, look. Just
oh, my God, I do that,
here's
too.
Here's the thing.
Look. It's okay. Go ask your husband if he wants some tea. And I'm
like... I thought you were going to have a big revelation there.
I know.
You know, I'm like, okay. Everything is, like, common sense. It's okay. Yes, I know.
That's so comforting.
Yeah.
Oh, Aunt God, I need her.
Yeah.
Need
so, her anyways, that was about
okay,
the lab.
So
I don't spend every second in the lab, but I do a lot of different things every single day.
Why do you want to stay so connected? Like, why don't you just want to be, like, you know, skiing, like, you know, 364 days
skiing.
A year?
It's really
why,
cold.
Aren't you, like, always in, like, Telluride?
My children like skiing, yes.
Okay, so why don't you want to be, like, on the beach?
I don't play tennis. I don't want to get too much sun. I get bored really easy. I like to make things up. I like to create. Yeah. I like to have fun. I like to do makeup. I like to do shoots.
Okay.
So I just kind of like to do stuff.
Have there been products over the last decades that you've been doing this that were, like, the problem children? They seem flawless.
Yes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When they come out,
yes,
like, what's been hard for you?
Of course. So I don't know if I could think of any, but there's been times where a market asks for something and we have, like, no time to actually really formulate it. So, you know, sometimes you take an existing formula. And then usually those are the things that we discontinue.
When you say the market asks for something, like,
the
can
market,
you give an example?
I don't mean like the supermarket.
No,
I mean
like a country? Global market.
Yeah, we call it the UK, EMEA, you know, Europe, wherever it is, they have requests. And so our job is to keep the markets happy, but still stay true to the brand. See, I'm a businesswoman too. I'm not just a makeup artist.
I like that. So what have, just because we're talking about it, about international beauty, have you noticed any differences? Like have you been surprised by any of the markets that you've gone into and been like, wow, they really love Coral and, United Arab Emirates.
Right. And and honestly, it really changes.
That was so random.
No, but honestly, it changes in different markets. Well, first of all, LA likes different things than New York.
Mm-hmm.
LA, everyone is very, beigey lipstick and not, a whole lot of color. New York is very dark.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen our city palettes that just launched. So we've got London.
So those aren't just marketing. That's true to sort of who the women are in those cities.
Well, because I thought about what colors a woman in London would wear, what color a woman in Paris would wear, and what color a woman in New York would wear.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, the New York palette is the one I want to use.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, the lipstick is called Bobby, not just the brand, but the color.
So the New York woman is a little bit, neutral.
Yes, the browns, the soft browns, mm-hmm. The pinky cheek, but not too pink. And in the UK, the lipstick is called Her Majesty, or just Majesty, which is exactly the color the Queen wears.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she's ever worn my lipstick, but I named it after her.
Oh, that would be awesome. How can we find that out?
Well, I know it's been given to her by her granddaughter.
Mm.
So I don't know if she's actually worn it, but it has been handed. So.
So you.
And then Paris is the black and the smoky and the red lipstick.
So you've launched, over two decades ago now. And you are no longer, the only brand in town making foundations that match skin tones and, gorgeous neutrals. But you still have the monopoly on being that brand that is synonymous with those things.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is? And why do you think people are so, they identify as a Bobbie girl? I hear that.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. There's certainly people that aren't Bobbie girls that like to contour and have garish colors, and that's fine. Everyone's allowed to their style. But I think that our message that has been, clear from day one, which is it's about confidence and feeling good in your skin, is true and really, I never say this word right, resonates. Yes, I said it right. I always say it wrong. But I also think just people know that the integrity of the company is products are going to work.
Have you ever seen any trends that other companies are like jumping on the bandwagon and maybe you felt a little pressure? Oh God, we have to come out with a cake eyeliner. That's a bad example.
Mm-hmm.
Or CCDD
right.
plus cream.
Right.
Have you ever had to push back and say that's not true to the Bobbie girl?
Well, first of all, I never came out with a contour palette because I don't believe in contour.
Yeah. Did anyone push you to do that?
Are you kidding? Everybody pushed me to do it. Everyone did. And now I hear the trend is non-tour. So I'm finally in trend, okay? But there was also a couple things on the market that the brands asked for, BB cream.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first saw BB cream in Korea, I said, no way. This makes you look like you've got cake on your face. So we redid it the Bobbie way, and it's the number one selling BB cream in many markets where because it actually is skin tone.
Instead of that instead of the white, titanium dioxide-y kind of color.
I'm still confused about BB creams and CC creams.
Well, the original BB cream was called Blemish Balm, and it was created in Germany, I can't believe I know this, by a dermatologist for his patients that had plastic surgery that needed to cover.
This is why we have Bobbie Brown.
Okay, and I don't know, but that is the truth. And then Korea took it and made it. Korea makes everything a trend.
Mm.
So Korea took it, made a trend, and then it was really big.
And why did a contour palette never make the cut?
Because I don't think anyone needs to contour. If you're lucky enough to have a round face, you are lucky, and just put a nice, pot rouge on your cheek and a little glow and be happy.
Do you hear that, round face listeners?
Yes.
I had a round face for
long. Who decided that's not a good thing?
But look at all the beautiful women in history who've had round faces, from Andie MacDowell, Isabella Rossellini. So round faces are very beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you have thick brows, why would you pluck them away?
As are freckles, as are strong noses, as are things mm-hmm. that are natural on your skin.
I love that.
I'm curious, do you still do store appearances? Like, do you go and meet women that are your customers
often? I don't do as many as I used to do, and store appearances are so overloading and busy that I don't really get to talk to people, but I talk to people all the time. I spend a lot of time with young kids because I love college kids and high school kids. And so, any chance I get, I go talk to groups.
Yeah, and you wrote, the high school kids.
Tell
you love this book.
I mean, teenage beauty is, I feel like many of our listeners right now, that may have been their first introduction to Bobbi Brown.
Tell me you were a teenager when I wrote that
book. I was not. Oh, no, I wasn't. And I'm not going to say exactly how old I was. But I remember thinking, I wish I had this book, because the books that I had, I mean, I didn't own them because I left them right there on the shelf. They were, like, really grotesque, really patronizing.
Right.
I didn't want to look like any of those girls. And it's just corny. They're really corny.
Right.
Your book was... It wrote about beauty in a way that was very sophisticated, but still treating them as teenagers.
Right.
If you were to write that book now, like 15 years later, would you do it the same way?
Well, do you know, I did have a follow-up, and it was called Beauty Rules, and I think it was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a modern take on it, and I actually took some of the girls that were in the first book and had them talk about what they were going through when they were teenagers that age and what they are now. So it was really interesting.
But think about in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Like social media. You have three kids.
Oh, no.
The world is different.
A lot of things have changed. I've actually just finished my 9th book. It's coming out in April.
Oh.
And I don't know how to type. So it's kind of amazing that I'm able to be an author.
What is your perspective on... like being a teenage girl now and having to, I mean...
Or even an adult and having to deal with the social media landscape.
Well, it's really funny. I think it's difficult, and I think that, you know, I'm glad I have three boys, because I think it'll be really hard, you know, especially to see what everyone else is doing when you're home. Like, you didn't get invited to that party,
God.
And someone else is having...
FOMO.
You know.
Fear of missing out.
Right.
I can't even imagine.
I'm a very good editor, so when I am posting on social media on a trip, I mean, it all looks so amazing. I could be completely exhausted and tired, and I have a friend who, an acquaintance who said... I just can't even look at you because I look at your Instagram and I'm so envious. And I'm like, dude, I am so tired and overloaded and exhausted, you know. So you got to be careful what you see out there. But I think it's hard for a young girl to, you know, see her friends, and especially when everyone's like retouching and doing all of that.
Yeah. Wait, you just made me think of something. You're Bobbi Brown the person, then there's Bobbi Brown the cosmetics. When you guys started doing social media at your company,
That's a good question.
Was there big meetings about, which is real Bobbi and which is, brand Bobbi?
Well, there's always meetings because there's always new people in departments, but I have my personal one, which is just Bobbi Brown, and then the brand one is Bobbi Brown. I happen to be posting often on the brand one. I don't identify myself, but it's just something I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So
we know when we get
but
just...
But I follow more of a strategy of what's launching on the brand. And then every once in a while, I just throw something in, like tequila or something.
But then just Bobbi Brown is actually your life with your family.
And no one tells me I can't do something on just Bobbi Brown.
Right.
So I can do whatever I want.
Because they'll have to talk to Aunt Alice then.
Exactly.
So we've had a lot of hairstylists and makeup artists on the show who've been coming up right now and having to go through these kind of discussions that you're going through.
Right.
And we've had people that have experience like you do who sort of, I'm not going to say they're annoyed how quickly people can get famous and get work these days, but what do you say to these makeup artists that didn't really pay their dues like you did?
Well, the world is different. When I was a young makeup artist and all these hairdressers and makeup artists were doing the Vogue covers, that's who I admired. There was no retouching back then. There was no, you know, anything. We used to sit on a set and do makeup, and I had a binocular so I could see the makeup in the back. So I knew how to fix it because there was no one fixed it.
Oh, you weren't tethered to like a screen like we are now.
No, there were not even computers back there and back then. And I had a date book that I would put Polaroids in and write where I went every day. And I'm not even kidding. So I learned makeup the hard way. I would look at the slides. Back then there were slides with a loop. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, oh, my God, the face doesn't match the body. Or I'd say, oh, my God, tomorrow I have to do it better. Because one of my traits is I always think I could do something better. So as a makeup artist, that's how I learned. So right now, the younger kids don't learn that way. And
because you can fix it in post.
Right. And by the way, and it's a different world. And you know what? I'm so proud of my career and what I've done. I could look at other people and, you know, be happy for them. And, you know, it's hopefully there's enough pie for everyone, put it that way.
I'm going to get binoculars for the next shoot.
It's amazing.
What would it do?
I'm You're just kind of like just grasping in the dark.
No, because then you could see if the eyelashes are stuck together, or you could see if the concealer separates.
You've always been about more than beauty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you were telling me about spinning when, like, I didn't. I was like, she talking about biking? Like, mm-hmm. I didn't.
I used to own a spinning studio.
Yeah, I couldn't even like quite picture it.
Right.
So you've really and you've just been this like wellness guru. Another like testament
Wait,
to
did
how
did you work with her?
Yeah, yes. This is what I'm getting to.
Okay.
So I have a little secret. I worked in your office for, you know, a month, like doing someone's like anyway, when I was in your office, I was told that I had to like hide my Diet Coke so that Bobby wouldn't see. And then on Fridays when you weren't there, someone was like, ooh, we can order cheeseburgers and fries because Bobby's not here. And the Diet Cokes were cracking.
Well, let me tell you.
I'm not going to mention names.
No. You don't have to because I know it's Veronica. Okay. And this has been one of those.
It was a party.
Okay. But this is one of those urban myths. So I drink Diet Coke rarely. You know, to me, I use it as a drug when I really don't feel good. Yes. I drink water. But in the Bobby office, it's not like you're not allowed to have these things. When we have meetings, I really believe in giving people fruits and vegetables, healthy mm-hmm. food, not white bread bagels. So there's either I won't even eat a whole grain bread, but there's whole grains. There's the best quality of every food. There's proteins.
Yes.
There's certain things. There's not sugary things. But guess what? What you're doing at your desk, if you want to be stupid enough to smoke a cigarette and you know, eat junk food, that's up to you.
I think I didn't want to get sassed and they were being kind. Oh, yeah, and then we went to QVC and you mm-hmm. brought your own catering.
Oh, yeah. Cause
Oh, my God. I had, like, delicious food. It was, like, beautiful catering.
Aww.
I had to prepare to get in my role
It was probably
as model.
Clean food.
Wait, do our listeners know this about
me? I was a QVC model for, I think, the now defunct Party Lash mascara.
Oh, no, it's still there.
Oh, it's still there?
It's still a party.
Oh, for the, I was,
still
I was,
party.
I was,
no,
a,
you rocked
I,
it.
I was a model for the Party Lash mascara.
Wait,
it's amazing.
And were you, like, hovering around her and talking?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I thought that was when you were on by yourself on like 8.
No. I know. I've done multiple.
You guys
like,
are having fun without
yeah.
me.
Oh, I love it though.
You go way back.
All right,
so back to wellness.
Anyway, it's really. You basically. I learned, Bobby. There was some takeaway.
But you know, for me, it's just about being present and noticing how you feel. If you feel, look, I wish I felt good eating hamburgers and fries. You know, I do on occasion when it's the best hamburger and the best fries. I don't feel good the next day.
I mean. You're right.
I mean, it's just I've figured out that I'd rather feel good. I'd rather be able to get up in the morning and exercise and walk.
When did you have this?
But
when did you learn this?
I drink a tequila almost every night.
It's low in sugar, I've heard, as far as
alcohol
goes.
And I had a martini Friday night, and I felt bad all day Saturday.
But that brings us to, we want to do a little something with you, because Jess has been extolling the Bobby. First of all, ask about the Bobby concealer.
Okay, so this is what we were talking about before we had to record the show.
Right.
Okay, finally, how to apply concealer. Your advice is legendary. It's the Bobby way. We've mentioned it before on the podcast without you being here, but like since we have you here, can you like just describe it again?
Preach, Bobby.
Well, the way you put concealer on, first of all, is you start with a teeny bit of eye cream that is hydrating and smooths under eyes so it doesn't get in the lines, if we have lines. Then you take the corrector first. I like to use a brush when I do someone else, but a finger with myself, and I put it on, especially the inner corner, to brighten it under the eyes. Take my finger, tap it on. Then I layer the concealer on top of it. Concealer is one shade lighter than your foundation. It's yellow tone. The corrector corrects any kind of darkness under the eyes.
And is the corrector different for every different skin tone?
Yes, exactly.
So
some
head to your
pinky,
local Bobby counter
right.
to
some,
get corrected.
Yeah, some are pinky and some are a little peachy. And your concealer is also different for everyone.
Right.
But with those things, I always say it's like the Spanx for your face. If you don't have the right things underneath, you know, your dress doesn't look good. If you don't have the right concealer corrector, nothing looks good.
Oh, that's good.
I always feel like what's the point of the corrector? Because isn't the concealer concealing everything? Or do you still see the corrector through?
No, you'll see a lot of women will see the darkness through. Concealer is lighter, but it doesn't get into that, like, recessed area.
Yeah.
You know, but you need both. Because just the corrector itself, on some women it's enough.
Right.
But other women, you need both.
And is this...
Do you want to see mine?
Yes, please. Oh. Is this where your Pat Don't Rub came from?
No, that was from Jean Godfrey June.
But it's Pat Don't Rub.
She probably got it from Bobby.
Yeah, exactly. All roads lead back to Bobby.
That's okay. Bobby's doing the spill a little early, but I like it.
Oh. But this is my go-to thing. This is, and I'll explain since you're not watching me. See?
Listeners.
So it's a six-pan empty palette, and I have in here corrector, concealer. I actually have two correctors because sometimes I need a little extra. I have a foundation stick.
Oh,
I
wow.
I have a pot rouge, and I have a lipstick. And
you do everything with
I
that.
I do everything with that.
Do you like to set, just to finish up our little concealer chat, do you set it with powder?
Yes, I do.
What kind of powder do you like?
Well, I don't do it on myself so much. I do it, I just keep adding more, like in an hour or so. But to make it last, you use the powder. And the ones that we sell have a powder attached to it.
Yeah, I have one of those.
It's
a little bit yellowish, right? What's that about?
Well, it's either, because yellow disappears on the skin.
Instead of white.
The only people that need white powder are the girls that are like so fair that they just can't even go in the sun without burning.
It makes so much sense when you say it out loud.
It's really simple.
It's just logic. Yeah. Are you like totally befuddled by other brands?
I'm befuddled by a lot of things in life. We won't talk about politics.
It's befuddling.
I just like things very simple, and things are either, cut and dry, yes or no.
Okay, we'll see about that because we have a couple little quiz questions for you here. See how cut and dry living the Bobby way is.
So I've always been like really fascinated by, like listening to your team of makeup artists and just like working for you for like that, brief period of time. Like it's like, well, that's not the Bobby way, or the Bobby way is this. It's almost like the Jedi way, like it's like the Bobby way. So we thought it would be fun to like we felt like we might be missing out on, like, I think it's clear from this interview, so much life-changing advice from you. Mm-hmm. So we want to play a little game called Bobby's World.
Okay.
Basically, we're going to give you a category and you tell us the Bobby way to do it. We'll both ask.
Okay, you go first. Okay.
What is the Bobby way to dress for an interview?
Mm-hmm. Comfortable, polished, and with your style. And navy, not black.
Why navy, not black?
Because black's too harsh.
Oh, more like you seem more approachable? And like,
I think people look better in navy than black.
Love it. Okay. What is the Bobby way to apply makeup for a lazy Sunday?
Don't.
Good answer.
The Bobby way to buy a bra?
Online.
Online. Do you have a favorite source?
Amazon.
You buy your bras off Amazon?
Well, I know what I like. Yeah. So I just reorder it. And then sometimes the other ones come down and you can always send it back. Or
it's true. You're in the comfort of your own home to try them online.
Actually, that's really, yeah.
Okay. I'm weirdly obsessed with this question.
Jen and I are both obsessed. We're like really freaked out.
What's the Bobby way to tell someone they have bad breath?
Would you like an Altoid?
Wait, is she telling me or is it?
No.
I know. Jen and I are both going to like freak out at home.
Would you like an Altoid?
You know what? When people always ask me about mint or gum, I always say yes. Because like, maybe that's what they're really saying.
I spiral for like 2 hours. Okay, you're from New Jersey.
Yes. I'm actually from Chicago.
Oh, that's right. Yes. But you've resided in New Jersey for some time. What's the Bobby way to drive on the New Jersey Turnpike?
With either Fred, my driver, or my husband, Stephen. I don't like the Turnpike. I don't. I can handle the Parkway. Don't love the Turnpike. And I do not like Route 3.
It's aggressive.
And I cannot drive in or out of the Meadowlands. It drives my husband crazy.
Are you often at the Meadowlands?
Well, there's concerts. Like for concerts, sports. Yeah. I'm a mom of three boys.
Yeah.
You have to go over three or four lanes. I don't want to merge four lanes at once. Okay.
When you get the driver.
Exactly.
Okay.
Fred.
Fred.
And then I think this is our last one.
Is Fred outside?
He is outside.
Okay. What is the Bobby way to order at a 24-hour roadside diner? So you're not getting your vegetables and kale and best salmon
ever.
It ain't Baltazar. Well, I would either order an egg white omelet, or I would have hard-boiled eggs.
Okay.
Yeah, and I guess if I'm really starving, I guess I would have a baked potato and cottage cheese with pepper.
Okay, so you can live the Bobby life anywhere.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Last, we want to see what's in the Bobby bag. Well, what's the Bobby way to pack a bag?
Well, it's very, very normal.
You have 160 something lipsticks we learned, so they're not all going to make it in, right?
And if you notice, I don't have one lipstick.
No, you had your pot rouges in that little palette.
Right, but
you
not
told
like
us.
A lipstick.
Well, so what do you have?
So I have my little thing that I do my face with. Mm-hmm. All right. And then I have these retouching sticks.
Oh, those are new.
These are new.
I've been playing with those.
And the retouching wands, which are crazy good.
She just put it around her nostrils.
Oh, my God, I need
That's
that.
Where I always
Gets
get red.
Rid of the redness, yeah.
Oh.
And then you go like this.
Yeah, I get red on my chin.
Yeah.
So how are the retouching wands different than like a stick foundation or powder?
Stick foundation would be more coverage. These are almost like transparent coverage, like you've been retouched, so like you're not wearing foundation. So it's great for touching up for people that wear foundation, and it's great for a younger person with good skin that doesn't want to look like they're wearing foundation but likes to even it.
Right. Oh, I think that's really good. So you're not like covering up, you're just like shifting the hue a little.
Right.
So just less caking red. It on.
Yeah, it's I mean, you don't see it on the skin. Yeah.
Oh my God, I feel like I'm a better person. Don't you?
Bobby.
Things are so simple, people.
I know. Thank you, Bobby. This has been like the best. I'm going to go like drink a green juice and put some.
I need a hotline too. Can we text?
Sure.
I cannot get enough Bobby. Like, I just want Bobby in my life.
I feel like I need her guidance.
It was such a good interview. She looked adorable, too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to invite myself to Telluride.
That's it. Or we just go to Jersey and surprise her, like, all scary one
Doing
Sunday.
It. Totally. if you're like us and you can't get enough Bobby, you should follow her on Instagram because she really, like, she lives the life. Mm-hmm. Actually, and she told us on the way out the door, she's big into Facebook Live these days. So
she was like really into it.
She's plugged in. On Mondays at 4, they do a Bobby Brown Facebook Live. Maybe we can get ourselves invited on.
I'm dying for that.
She can do Pat concealer on us. We did not run this by the publicist, but we're going to.
Yeah, guys, invite us.
Guess what it's time for?
Jeez. I wasn't ready for that.
Okay.
Therese, I want.
You got R&B, but I was going for like.
You were like, it was like musical. It was like a
John Follies. Philip Sousa.
Something.
What are you raising a wand to?
Okay. So I need a refill of this if anyone is listening. IGK is the hair brand. You know IGK?
Yes, I've been.
IGK.
I love their packaging.
Their packaging is really good. You know what? They've really stepped up the bar in the hair world with the packaging. Like, if you don't have good packaging now and you're a hair brand, like, good luck to you. Because, like, you have to look good now, you know?
So what do you like from them?
The Down and Out Spray, it's like a dirty, like, texture spray. And you know how I feel about texture sprays. I don't like them. I told you that's why I like Orlando Pita, the volumizing, like, conditioning leave-in. This is actually, like, it adds grit to your hair. I used it, like, 4 times. And then I picked it up the other day and almost flew out of my hand because my boyfriend's been using it too. And he's a real snob when it comes to hair products.
How
products,
is it different
period.
From the Orlando Pita Play?
Because Orlando Pita Play is all about soft, beautiful, like it's a leave-in conditioner. It's not a texturizer.
And what's this one?
This is like, I'm going to put grit in your hair.
But I thought you didn't like that.
It's like not gross grit. It's just kind of like almost like I like to think of it as like a gauzy mesh. This stuff is so good. If you're somebody that loves Orbe Dry, I think you should, try this. I think you might enjoy this as well.
Good tip. Thank
What's
you.
What's yours?
Okay, if anybody follows us on Instagram, at Fat Mascara, you know I've been having pimple problems this week. There's a doozy on my chin. And you know why? Because I didn't follow my own damn advice, which I give out all the time, which is once you have an anti-acne system that works for you, you have to keep using it. You can never think like, oh, I've cured my acne. Let me just start to dally around and try other things like consistency, consistency, consistency. So I like stopped using my cleanser because I thought I don't have acne anymore. And lo and behold, like this thing with its own zip code just shows up on my chin.
What was your cleanser? Out of
curiosity? My cleanser is what I'm raising a wand to.
Oh.
And my raising a wand to consistency, it is Proactive Plus Skin Smoothing Exfoliator. It has the micronized benzoyl peroxide.
Oh, it's all about the BP.
It is. Like, I use it every other day when I was using it because it can be drying and it does make your towels turn colors. Who freaking cares? Because you won't have a pimple like this on. So I swear by their benzoyl peroxide cleanser.
Jen, it's going to be fine. You always look gorgeous.
I know, but I feel like I'm...
No, you look beautiful, Jen.
Okay, so I'm getting more cleanser, going to get back on the system. My skin will be clear next week. We mentioned a lot of products and people and places and brands and things in this episode, so I just want to put it out there. If you want to find out where any of those things are, go to fatmascara.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and at fatmascara for both of those things. And you can also contact us directly by emailing us at info@fatmascara.com.
So profesh.
So profesh. Thanks for listening, guys.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.